Emmer in April 1949 at a GAC meeting, where he listened silently as Oppie openly disparaged Project Lexington, the Air Force's proposal to build a nuclear-powered bomber. As if that weren't controversial enough, Oppie also criticized the AEC's plan to push ahead with the program of civilian nuclear energy plants. "It is a dangerous engineering undertaking." Unconvinced, Borden left thinking that Oppenheimer was a born leader and a manipulator. In the wake of Fuchs's confession, however, Borden began to wonder if Oppenheimer might be something more dangerous than a mere manipulator. Not surprisingly, his suspicions along these lines were encouraged by Lewis Strauss. By 1949, Strauss and Borden were on a first-name basis, and Strauss continued, even after leaving the AEC, to cultivate the staff director of the Senate committee responsible for oversight of AEC activities. They quickly realized that they had similar concerns about Oppenheimer's influence. On February 6, 1950, Borden was present when FBI Director Hoover testified before the Joint Committee. Ostensibly, Hoover had come to brief the committee about Fuchs, but he dealt at length with Oppenheimer. Sitting on the committee that day were Senator McMahon and Congressman Henry Scoop Jackson, Democrat from Washington. Scoop Jackson's district in Washington State was home to the Hanford nuclear facilities. He was a hard-line anti-communist and a strong proponent of nuclear weapons. He had met Oppenheimer the previous autumn, during the debate over the super, and had invited him to dinner at the Carlton Hotel in Washington, D.C. There he had listened in disbelief as the physicist argued that building the H-bomb would only fuel an arms race and make America less secure. "I think he had a guilt complex because of his role in the Manhattan Project," Jackson would say years later. Now, for the first time, Jackson and McMahon learned from Hoover about Hoken Chevalier's 1943 approach to Oppenheimer, in which Chevalier had suggested that perhaps there was scientific information that ought to be shared with their wartime Soviet ally. Hoover reported that Oppenheimer had rejected the overture, but to Borden's suspicious mind, the incident still sounded incriminating. He began to wonder if Oppenheimer's opposition to the superbomb was motivated by a nefarious loyalty to the communist cause. A month later, Edward Teller told Borden that Oppenheimer had wanted to close down Los Alamos after the war. He claimed that Oppie had said, "Let's give it back to the Indians." As the historian Priscilla J. McMillan has documented, Teller worked assiduously to cultivate Borden against Oppenheimer. According to McMillan, Teller made a point of seeing Borden every time he came to Washington. Teller flattered the younger man in their frequent correspondence and fueled Borden's doubts by telling him repeatedly that the thermonuclear program was lagging and Oppenheimer was to blame. Borden was also told that a Los Alamos security officer believed Oppenheimer had once been a philosophical communist. And finally, for the first time, he learned that Kitty Oppenheimer had once been married to a communist who had fought and died in Spain. Borden, McMahon, and Jackson also were appalled to learn that Oppenheimer had recently begun to use his influence to make the case for battlefield tactical nuclear weapons. To the Air Force and its congressional allies, Oppenheimer's initiative was viewed as a transparent effort to undermine the dominant role of the Strategic Air Command. Jackson and his colleagues considered SAC's ability to deliver a devastating atomic attack America's Trump weapon. "Until now," Jackson said in a speech, "our atomic superiority has held the Kremlin in check. Falling behind in the atomic armaments competition will mean national suicide. The latest Russian explosion means that Stalin has gone all out in atomic energy. It is high time we go all out."